Good happy Monday to everyone out there. This is Amy Toy, the host of Angel Answers. I have a really interesting show for those ladies and gentlemen who are online dating people who, you know, are looking for love. Drea Bauer is on the line, and she is an author of a book called Online Dating. Okay, Become the Queen of Online Dating, Looking for My Flame, and I Found My Fire. So, Drea, you want to tell us what more about yourselves and more about yourself? I'm sorry. Yeah, my brain's going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The book is actually Mismatch, and it's all about the process of online dating. Yes, ma'am. It's all about the process of online dating, how to fill out your profile, how to really learn from the experiences. But as for me, the reason I wrote the book is because I'm an attorney and I was in private practice, so I worked for myself. So I didn't have, you know, school or an office that I was meeting people to engage with and go out with. So online was kind of new and up and coming then. So it was just a great outlet for me to actually get some experience dating some new guys with some different interests. So it was such a wonderful experience, and I learned so much through the online dating about myself and about people in general. So it was really a wonderful way to just expand who I was. And I really wanted to share all those tips and tools so that other people could learn from that and save them the years of experience through navigating through the online dating. I'm also a real estate developer. I do a lot of self-development work. So I train with and work with the best in the world. So, it really lends itself to working with people and really helping them to get a higher quality of life. And I use online dating as a tool to navigate that and just to grow and to find their partner as well as learn about themselves.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, why do you, like you said, do you think people are turning to online dating these days because people are always busy, and they can't go out and meet people?
Again, I think there are many reasons. For me, it was because I didn't go to an office or go to school where I would meet people that I might want to go out with. Now, you know, of course, the supermarket's always a great place, and the hardware store, and those kinds of things. But on a day-to-day basis, unless I went there, the gym, I wasn't meeting people that I could interact with so that I could even get the opportunity to go on a date. So a lot of people work out of their homes now or on their computers now and don't actually go into a work. Everything is, you know, so virtual through the Internet, which is amazing, but sometimes it doesn't allow us that human connection that we so crave. So a lot of people connect through Facebook or Twitter, you know, all kinds of online ways to really get in communication and stay in communication with one another. So, of course, dating would naturally gravitate to that as well.
Mm-hmm. And what do you tell people who are hesitant about online dating? Now, I have, you know, I'm a psychic medium, and I have people coming to me about those kind of questions. What are your advices to those who are hesitant about trying the online experience?
Amy, a lot of people are hesitant, but I guess, you know, being an intuitive, you know, trust your gut. And, we're smart, savvy women, so, and men too. You always want to keep yourself safe. There are so many things that we can do to make certain that you know, we don't put ourselves out there in a way that would not be safe or protected. But in addition to that, most importantly, you know, you got to trust your gut, just like taking care of yourself when you're doing anything in life, when you're walking to your car late at night or anything else. You know, you have that intuitive guidance that always is protecting us. But I would say, always, always make certain that you meet people in public places. You know, you can give them your phone number. Don't give them your address. Don't tell them where you work until you meet them and have established some kind of relationship to where you feel more comfortable with them. You know, I would not disclose things that are going to personally identify you so that they can find you outside of that online communication. Again, you want to make certain it's a public place. You never want to leave a drink or a purse unattended. You know, that's the things that we inherently know to do. Always tell a friend where you're going and with whom, that they have the contact information so they can kind of follow up and check to make sure you get home safely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let me go a little bit about setting up your profile. And first of all, how do you find the right site for you? We've got Match.com. We've got Christian Mingle. We have Zeus. We have Plenty of Fish. I mean, we have a plethora of websites out there. How do you choose the right one that's for you?
Well, the great news is you don't actually only have to choose one, but there are so many. There are literally thousands of dating sites now. So if there's a specific niche for you, if there's a certain religion that you have to have or ethnicity, there are sites for that. If you have to have an animal lover or someone who is athletic, there are sites for that. So you may want to try those smaller niche sites, but also the bigger sites like eHarmony and Match, they have people with all of the qualities and more. So you can you can maybe try one of the bigger ones, one of the smaller ones, and see what feels right to you. If you like the members, a lot of them will allow you a free trial, so you can kind of test out the waters and see, you know, if it looks like the people on that site might be of interest to you.
Yeah, I have a client who is, you know, in the 50 and above range, let's say. So she tried Christian Mingle. She didn't like it. Our time, she kind of likes that. You know, so you're right. You have to kind of navigate the waters there in trial and error.
Absolutely. Everyone's individual in their preferences. So some of it you're going to, I can save you years through my experiences, but some of it you're going to have to try and see what feels right to you. And again, a lot of that you can do without any risk, because you can literally go on and look at a lot of the profiles and things on many of these sites, get a free trial membership for a couple of days, those kinds of things, without having to invest anything in it. And some of the sites actually are completely free. I tend to find sometimes people are a little more active and interested when they actually have something on the line and have put a little bit of money on the line. So it seems like they seem to be a little more interested in the process sometimes. So, but again, there's all kinds of sites out there. We're not limited by just one, so you can have your profile active on several. But it can end up taking a lot of time, so you just have to factor all those things into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I met my fiancé on Match.com, so...
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, obviously. You know, because I have clients that say, oh, you know, that online dating thing, I don't really want to try it. And I'm like, why knock it? Try it. I mean, yes. You know, and so when you are, you know, it's growing and growing. That's how you meet a lot of people. But the sad part is I was on Match for many years, and there's still the same guys on Match that were like 10, 15 years ago. I don't know why that is.
True. You know, but that's like life in general, right? You have those men that are ready and looking to get married, and they do. And they find their bride one way or another. And then you have those people that are more interested in dating and aren't really ready to commit, and they continue to date women. So I don't think it's necessarily the vehicle. It's, you know, maybe right. The person, the individual.
No, I just found it ironic. You know, I went back on, oh, gosh, I took a hiatus from it, and then I saw these guys. I'm like, you guys are still on here from 2 years ago.
Right. But, you know, again, that's true. On some sites, it's not about finding a partner for life. I mean, there are even sites that are just about getting together for different rendezvous. So, again, there's a site for everything, and it depends on what you're looking for. Like, I think Christian Mingle and Christian Single, you know, if you're a Christian and you want a Christian mate, those are great sites, and a lot of those are more structured for finding a partner to get married to and stuff that, again, people are different individuals, especially depending on where you are in the U.S. I mean, some people don't, again, they don't even want to date people from the U.S., so there's sites for that. So there's kind of something for everyone, and what people are looking for is particular. So you do have to do a little bit of the legwork yourself and say, hey, these are the qualities I'm interested in a partner, and which site offers the best of those, and because it's changing daily as well. There are more
right.
sites every day.
Exactly. And let's talk about that. When you're setting up, let's discuss talking, you know, setting up a profile. Okay, I found this was trial and error within itself. What you mentioned about writing down the qualities you want in a partner. I mean, how would you do that? Like, you know, some people have lists, other people just have non-negotiables. What's your advice on that?
I had this exact thing with a client the other day, Amy. He was telling me everything that he wanted, and he wrote his profile up like that. And my advice to him was, you've got to be that which you wish to attract. So it's a great thing to really brainstorm and say, these are the qualities I want in a partner. I want somebody loyal, faithful, athletic, in great shape, you know, eats great foods, is very healthy and conscious. And that's so great, because that really helps you understand what you want to bring into your life. And to get that, you need to become that. So once you realize what your goal is, then those are your own personal goals as well. And if you do become that person, you will attract in the quality of your reciprocal mate.
Mm-hmm. You attract who you are, exactly. And that's
absolutely
too. Because if you're looking for someone who is financial, let's say I have another client who wants someone who's financially stable, someone who's a little younger than her, blah blah blah. You're going to have to attract that. You know, instead
absolutely,
of,
absolutely.
For the negative,
and it's just
yeah.
not. This is not just because I'm very spiritual and I'm very intuitive, but it's not just in our realm. It's been said for the ages, like attracts like. Water mm-hmm. seeks its own level. Everyone knows this to be true. So it's a great thing to brainstorm and figure out what you want, because it does so much more than just letting you identify, you know, the partner that you want. It lets you identify what you want in your own life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I noticed when, for me, going back and dating, my list changed. It changed every year that I grew as a person too, because you grow, is like you said, spiritually minded people, you want to grow and you want to go through things, so your list may change and your qualities may change.
So true. And people ask me, well, what about when I have a bad day? I'm like, that's the best experience ever, because then it lets you identify exactly what you don't want to bring in. So, you know, sometimes those are the best experiences, because then again, we're very clear about what we do want by learning what we don't want.
Yes. Yeah, so when we're setting up a profile, for example, though, do you want it to be wordy, specific, or is it better to be broad? What is your opinion on that?
I advise my clients about 250 to 400 words. You don't want to be so specific, like he has to drink chocolate milk every day of the week but Saturday, because those specific, you know, somebody may rule you in or out based on those specifics, and you may find that, hey, I like somebody who doesn't drink chocolate milk every day of the week. I like vanilla. I mean, you just don't want to be so specific that you possibly rule out great potential partners. But if there's a must, if he has to be a dog lover, you may want to include that. If he has to, you know, be a vegetarian, you may want to include that. I'd say only if there's a must do identify it in your profile. Otherwise, what is not so, I think what people don't like reading is when it's like, I want this, and I want this. I think you want to say, this is, you know, how I look at a relationship, or this is what I have to offer, or this is who I am. I've had different clients write, like, a day in the life of, kind of like, what their day looks like, you know, going to a stroll in the park, and then, you know, then they go to the grocery store and pick out some herbs and spices and seed, and then they go home and make dinner. Different colorful ways to let someone know about them, but not, I'm a great cook, or, you know, I'm a fun girl, or I'm a great girl. Maybe show them in some type of colorful way. It's kind of like reading an article or reading a book about you. You want it to invite them in to want to share that experience, but you don't want it to be just like, I must have, I want. I won't tolerate, you know, those, especially those negative words, the don't and won't and can't, those are negative words, and people feel that energy off the page. So I advise against using any negative, and again, against anything too specific that you must have in a partner, unless you must have it. Like, if he has to be Christian or Jewish, you know, you want to identify that if that is a deal breaker. But otherwise, if you're open to different things, I wouldn't put those in there.
Okay. I like that, yeah, because you want to be open to everything, and I don't need everything, but also, you know, I think the more specific you are, the more limiting you are in some ways. You know, that's just been my experience. I always attracted that guy.
Absolutely. Again, sometimes we can learn so much from someone. Again, that's why they sometimes say opposites attract. I think they do, but for longevity, you want to have shared common goals and interests. But some things that you may think are, like, totally out of your realm, it may introduce you to something exciting that you never knew was possible. So, again, unless it's a must that is a deal-breaker, I would not include it. Otherwise, you know, just be open to what the universe brings you, what, you know, God finds and puts in front of you.
So you set up your profile. What about screen names, too? I read some articles about screen names. Is there some screen names you would avoid, or anything is possible? I mean, I don't know. I'm just getting to the nitty-gritty.
No, Amy, I love it. I love your questions. I would avoid anything too overtly sexual. I just think that it sets the wrong unless you're on, like, I think it's a Holly Madison or something like that, and that's your goal, then that's not what I do with my clients. It's out of my profile. But I think anything too overtly sexual, like, sets the tone for something that most of my clients are looking for, a long-term relationship. So, it's, you know, that they want to bring in a partner that's also looking for that. Anything that, you know, just doesn't make sense. You know, you want something, a quick grab-getter, like, you know, mine was Smiles Fast Class. It tells who I am in one little short, you know, look, and you can kind of get a feel for what I'm about. I had one, let's see, you know, with, like, Southern Charm. I've had all kinds of different clients with different names, but usually two or three words that are descriptive of them. I advise, you know, make a list of adjectives and nouns, pick two or three, and go with that.
Yeah, it's fun picking out a screening. I used to change mine all the time. I used to drive people crazy. But it's fun.
Well,
you know.
That's a great point, Amy.
I call it
well, you do want to have fun because you don't want it to be, you don't want this to be work. You want it to be enjoyable, just like dating. You know, I mean, like, you want to have fun dating. It shouldn't be just a chore. It should be engaging. Every time you go out with a person, you get to learn about somebody new. You get to find out something you didn't know. You may even learn something about yourself you didn't know. So it should be fun. I mean, it really should be. I mean, human connection is such a blessing for us. I mean, no one wants to be alone on an island, so... You know, Wilson is not our best friend. We want to get to engage with other people. And this opportunity puts a new person before us, you know, so quickly. You can always find somebody new to engage with. So you can learn about your dating skills. You can learn about yourself. And again, it's just an unlimited resource because now we're not just limited by, like, our little neighborhood and who we're dating, right? We're not limited by anyone in the world.
Yes, it is. I mean, I have clients that it's like a chore to date and others that just enjoy getting out there and meeting people. It's a matter of perspective, and that's so true. After a while, you just have fun with it. You become an expert at it, actually. Bringing back memories from many years ago. Another thing I wanted to ask you about, so you set up your profile, you got your screen name. Is it okay to approach men? We're women. Is it okay to, like, on Match, you flirt with them? Is it okay because there's the old adage, they should chase after you? What's your opinion on that?
Well, what I've found in my experience, and I've dated men all over this country and all over this world, men like to be the pursuer. It's inherent in how they're born, not how they're raised. They're used to providing for women and taking care of women, and they like to pursue women, and they like to please them and make them happy. But I do have some women that ask men out. I just never found it successful, honestly. I say at most, you know, wink or nudge a person, don't email them. You know, and most sites have an ability for people to go on there and look at who's been looking at their profile. And if you look at a gentleman's profile and he's really an active dater, he's going to know you looked at it and he's going to respond if he's interested. So I find that's a great way for my clients to get, you know, to kind of nudge a man without nudging him. But I, again, in my experience, I just constantly find, and I've tried it even out, you know, personally when I was on the market, I would go to clubs, bars, and I would try it both ways. It never seemed to work when I was the one approaching them, unless it was like in some coy way, like women often do. It's much more, you know, there's a softer undertone, and you're not just abrasively going up to a gentleman and saying, oh, would you call me, or something like that. We need to let them know we're interested, which, again, at most, a wink or a nudge. But, you know, it's just like being in a bar, a glance to the gentleman, or, you know, a twirl of the hair, a lick of the lips. Those things let him know that we're interested in him. He is open to approach us. Same thing online. We know how to be coy and flirtatious without being overtly, you know, too demanding in front of them. So I would suggest those ways because, again, just throughout the ages, that seems to be what works.
Yeah, I used to go on Match, like I said. I just would wink at him after a while, you know. Oh, he's kind of cute. And then rarely you would get the not interested, and you'd be like, dude, I was just winking at you. I wasn't going to marry you. You know, I just winked at you. You don't want to respond. I'll say no.
Amy, with your fiancé, did he pursue you? Or did you pursue?
Yes, he did. Well, he wasn't actually in my he wasn't in my category at the time. He was a little older, like a couple of years older than what I was looking for, and he had children from a previous relationship. So I really wasn't interested in that, but that's who I wound up with.
Yes, absolutely. And this is exactly, you are a perfect example of exactly what I was saying. You just got to be open and see where things take you because you never know. I mean, those children might be the biggest blessing in your life, and you never, you know, you never would have been open to it if you just looked to check boxes. So we can't make it so such a job that we just look to, you know, mark off, okay, he makes enough money, okay, you know, his looks are appropriate, okay, you know, his orientation religiously is appropriate. You got to really get a feel for the person. And I encourage my clients not to spend too much time online, but to actually take it offline as soon as possible because you don't really know the chemistry until you get live and in front of someone.
Right, you know, and I have clients too. You could be communicating with the guy. How long is it too long to communicate online with somebody?
Well, I literally suggest like 2-3 emails at most, and I don't even, not draw long, drawn out emails. Because you can fall in love with words, you can fall in love online, but until you get from someone and you feel them, you feel the energy, and you get the inflection in their voice, and you see the micro movements of their body, things you don't even consciously realize, that's when you really can judge the chemistry. People, I ask people this all the time because I like to hear what they say. People can't explain chemistry. It's just a feeling. But that's because, again, your unconscious takes in so many things that your conscious just can't process all at once. And that's how you know if you're attracted to someone. So when you're on a computer screen or even when you're on the phone, you can't really tell until you're live and in front of someone and visually feel all those clues.
Yeah, that's what I did with mine, too. That's funny you mentioned that, because we were just communicating back and forth, and then I'm the one who said, you know, I joked around. I said, why don't you call me? And he goes, give me your number, because we were talking and communicating, and that's what started from there. I mean, that's because after a while, it's like the communication, it's just like, oh, you know, when are you going to make a move, dude, you know?
And if they don't, like, again, I don't think women should be too abrasive, but you may say something like, oh, I'd love to hear the sound of your voice, or I'd love to, you know, put a voice with a face, or something like that that's not too overt. And then, you know, so you can drop clues. As women, we're very crafty. We're smart at doing that. And, you know, and guys are smart. They'll know, oh, she's welcoming me in, so I can call her. That's great. So some just take a little nudging.
What about the guys who want you to call? Well, what if they give you their number? What is your suggestion on that?
Again, back to, like, paleo days, I believe that men, you know, are the pursuers of the women. So I suggest, think, that's great. I'm rather traditional. Here's my number. My clients, myself, when I was online, never had anybody ever say, oh, I don't call women. So usually they're like, wow, that's refreshing. I love, you know, the fact that you want the man to be the pursuer. I love the fact that you're traditional. You know, I'm not old-fashioned, but very traditional in the approach because it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Because sometimes guys, I don't know, it's just, I had a guy that wouldn't call me for a while. I'm like, dude, you're going to, you know, you're the pursuer. Here's my number. If you don't want to call me, that's it. You know, I'm a very straightforward lady. It's like, this is it. You know, and he called me. And we dated for a while. But I mean,
oh, that's great. And I do find that if it's a gentleman that doesn't want to call and he's used to all the girls calling him, probably, again, for my clients, it's not the right relationship because where they're at may not be where my clients want to be, which, again, is generally married and in a committed relationship.
Yeah. And how can you tell if someone who's online is really not who they appear to be? Maybe they're in a relationship or they're married. Is that one of the clues?
Well, the clues are the consistencies and, again, your intuition. Your intuition is always with you, and we always know everything. It's whether we're tapped in and listening or not. So you want to look at, again, any kinds of inconsistencies within their profile or when you talk to them, if there's an inconsistency with what they say on the phone versus what they're putting in the emails or on their profile. Again, I always look for those negatives, like, that tell me whether that's kind of a sour person and those kinds of things, because I think it's just an indication of what the character of that person. So any negatives or judgmental things, you know, you can read those things into a profile, absolutely. A lot of times, here's a good tip on pictures, because I know one of the biggest complaints is they're not the age they say. They don't look like the pictures they get. Look at all the pictures. A lot of times they'll have one current picture mixed in with a lot of younger pictures. So my advice is look at the picture you're least attracted to, and if that's someone that's acceptable to you, go for it. If not, then maybe rethink it, because, again, oftentimes there are pictures mixed in from different decades. So, You just got to take everything into account. In the pictures, also look at the surroundings, look at the background. You know, are the clothes enough all over the floor? Is that something you can't live with? I mean, there are other clues in there. Are there pets or their children or their other women that they've cut out? Those things are kind of an indication. If they don't spend any more time on their profile than to, you know, put a flash picture in the mirror or one with an ex-partner, that may be an indication, you know, that maybe they're not really investing the energy into finding a real partner. Good clue.
Right. Exactly, you know, on people, you know, I love it when guys will take pictures with their ex-girlfriends and put it on their profile to cut off half her face or something. I'm like, are you kidding me? What are you doing, dude? You know, I just laugh. I would just go through the profile. I would, after a while, you do go through it with a fine-tooth comb, at least I do, with the pictures and read the profile and everything. And make sure you read the darn profile. Really read it.
Absolutely. And I advise this when you're doing your own profile as well. Look at the men's profiles, look at the women's profiles, especially ones in your with similar qualities and ages, so that you can get a feel for what you like and you don't, and somebody else's profile will help you create your own profile.
I like that. I like that clue because sometimes you're just like at a loss for words. Like, okay, what do I do? Just don't cut and paste somebody else's profile into yours.
No, you don't want to do that. You want to brainstorm. And again, just like you're writing any article, except for this isn't school. So if you need help from a friend, get it. You know, ask them how they think of you. And, you know, you can brainstorm and get somebody to review it, even help you write it. Because, again, this is not school. You're not being graded. You don't want to steal someone else's because that's not going to be a good reflection of you and who you are because everyone is so individual. You know, everybody has qualities particular to them. Here's another great tip. I call this my Groundhog Day approach.
Okay.
If you're not having the quality of responses that you want, if you're not getting the winks, the nudges, the emails, if you're not having the quality of responses that you want from other members, change it up. Change your pictures. Change your autobiographical section. Change your answers to the other questions. You know, change things until you start getting the responses that you like. Again, this is an unlimited resource, so you can keep changing it until you get... It's just like when you go on dates with this gentleman. If you find a... Because a lot of the questions will be typically the same. Why are you on this site? You know, why are you online dating? You know, why aren't you married? Those things.
I know.
So you can learn. You can learn by the responses you get from the people that you go out with. Does that feel good? Does it seem like they understand what you're saying? And if it doesn't, try changing your wording. Try changing the approach that you're using. And then the next time, it may say, oh, he understands what I'm saying. And this is, you know, one of my things was, you know, again, they all ask why he's still online. For me, just like I told you earlier, it's a great resource given that, you know, people are self-employed now. They don't go to school. It's just a great additional opportunity to meet partners. It's not a substitute for going out and meeting people at parties or at seminars or at the grocery store. It's just a great additional resource.
Exactly. Okay, so let's ask, you brought up some questions that are interesting. What do you tell people if they say, oh, you're 35 and you're not married, or, you know, why are you online dating? What are some of your, how would you help people respond to those questions?
Okay, so the age thing, it comes into different play at different places in the country, and it's certainly at different places in the world. But, you know, nowadays, so many people are not getting married until 30s, 40s. It's not the same that it was when our parents were growing up, and certainly not their parents, our grandparents. So I think people are developing their careers. They're being educated for longer. They're developing themselves. And here's the beauty about somebody in their late 30s, 40s, even 50s. They have a different comfort level and a different life experience that allows them to offer a partner something that a 20-year-old just doesn't have that experience because they haven't had those years on earth. So, you know, I think 20 is great. And my clients that are in that range, if they're so excited about life and nothing holds them back and they have no fear. So every segment of life has something special to offer. And so I always focus my client on those things. And if you had a second question.
Oh, no, I was just thinking, yeah, what about, why are you online dating? What's wrong? You know, I had guys that, what's wrong with you? Why are you online dating? Well, I responded back to them, what's wrong with you then? Why are you online dating?
That does always amuse me when people ask those kinds of questions because, again, obviously it's the same on both sides. But, you know, again, it's not a taboo thing. It's not, you know, it's not the old personal ads days in the newspaper where we didn't want anybody to say. This is how people go to conferences. This is how people keep up with high school friends. This is how people, you know, meet new people in their business, LinkedIn, Facebook, and they keep up with their old friends and their college friends, their high school friends. The internet is how we communicate and how we get our jobs done now. Of course, our personal lives have already moved to the internet, so dating is just one more segment of our personal life, so it makes complete sense that we would meet people. The only difference is that our initial introduction now is online.
Yeah, and it's like some of the questions guys will come up with. I'm just like, dude, are you serious? But, yeah, those are some of the questions that actually like I said, these are from my clients too, you know. So I thought, well, I'll ask them. I'll throw them in there. So you get online dating. You start dating somebody. So how long should you wait to meet someone in person? You said right away. What is right away?
Well, like I was saying, maybe just a couple emails, but I don't believe in the long, drawn-out thing where, you know, you get to know them on the internet and then you finally take it to an offline meeting. If you're interested in someone, you've got to get live and in front of them to see if there's that real chemistry. If you really want to you know, have a committed relationship. So I advise just a couple emails back and forth, maybe again to make sure what they're saying kind of is congruent with what you're seeing and to open up the door to them calling you. Then once you get on the phone with them, you're going to be able to tell a whole new level of chemistry because you're going to have that verbal communication. You're going to be able to tell by the tone of the pitch of their voice, the inflection, the words they choose. So that's a great way to have an additional screening process. But I advise my clients to do it with the intent, if they, you know, if they're satisfied and everything adds up on the phone, to go ahead and plan a date so that they can meet in person. Because again, if online dating, one of the big complaints is people say it can be too time consuming because you have so many potentials, which is amazing, right? But it can be overwhelming. So what you don't want to do is get bogged down in the process. You want to say, okay, let's get in front of each other because that's how we're really going to know if we have something that we can, you know, work on and try to see if we want to really date each other and build a relationship. So I advise, you know, you can meet somebody the first week that they contact you. I don't think there is any rule. I think that as long as, you know, again, you have a good feel for them, use your intuitive ability, make sure you meet in a safe place, public, make sure you give a friend the phone number and contact with the gentleman you're meeting and tell them when and where. So you're safe. I say go for it.
Okay. Yeah, and so you're dating, and after a while, let's go through some of the snafus of dating. I read one of your blogs about when he disappears. maybe you've had a few dates and you thought it was going good, but what about the guy that goes offline and you don't see him ever again without any explanation?
I hate this for my clients because they're, you know, constantly, what did I do wrong? But that has nothing to do with it. We never know the person that we're going out with. We can be married and not know what's going on sometimes with our partner. So when you're just dating someone, you don't know it could be something to do with work or children or prior partner, or they might not be ready. So if you go out with a guy and you have a great date and you never hear from them again, you got to not let it affect you and think that it's something that you're doing. Now, again, you may want to try your groundhog approach if you think that the way you're answering isn't getting the response you want and that kind of thing. But you can't just assume that it's something you're doing wrong because we never really know what's going on with other individuals. You can't accept the personal responsibility for every date not working because you think it's something that you're doing. We never know their backstory. We never know really. Even years later, you might not know everything that's going on with an individual. So certainly not on the first couple of dates. You know what's going on with everything in their life, work, family, friends, health.
Yeah, you don't know. I mean, it's baffling because, you know, it's a lot of my calls. We had we dated for a few months and then he disappeared. I'm like, well, we'll take a look at this. And it's usually something has happened they're not just going to be all open and honest with you and say, maybe, you know, this is not going to go anywhere. You know, I respect the man who told me that it wasn't going anywhere other than, you know, disappearing all of a sudden.
I love the open, honest approach, too. And, like, I advise my clients, when they're not interested in a guy, don't just not call back. You know, just tell them that I think you're great, that, you know, it's I don't feel like we're looking for the same things or however you want to express it. But, you know, we're all individuals and there's specific things that we're looking for in partners. And so they may or may not match up, or it may be a timing issue. So it may have nothing to do with the person, but it may be the timing or, again, other things going on in their lives. So we just can't take it personally if there's not a connection. I mean, again, we're all so unique individuals and there's the perfect person out there for all of us. But, you know, sometimes we may think on our side it looks great, and on their side things may look differently because of stuff that's going on in their own life.
Yeah, we just, like you said, we don't know what their story is. And online dating is trial and error. I mean, it's not the end of the world if he doesn't call you back. It's not the end of the world if, you know, you never see this guy again because one door opens, another one door closes, another one opens. I mean, that's the way
it is. Absolutely. That's what I tell my clients. This is God saving you from the wrong or the universe or however you want to identify. It's from saving you from the relationship that's not perfect for you.
Exactly. What did a friend of mine told me it this way, their rejection is God's protection.
Yes, absolutely. I've heard that thing as well. It's lovely. Yes.
Yeah. And I tell my clients that it's like, you know, and then sometimes you have people who don't want to put the effort. They just think that they should just attract the right person right away, and it's your expectations. And how do you deal with someone who is doing online dating and they're just like, well, I should have met him by now? How do you advise that kind of client?
Well, honestly, I think generally when people haven't met their partner, it's something within them. That they, sometimes we think we're open, and we're really not. That there's still more work to be done. Or, again, I have such a strong faith that I believe that when the timing is right, that things are planted. So my advice is, you know, be open, enjoy the process, because we spend our lives mostly on the way to our goals, right? I mean, school and work, and we're always on the way to something. So enjoy the process. Enjoy dating. Enjoy learning about other people. Enjoy learning about yourself. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. It actually is fun. I enjoyed it towards the end, and then I met mine. You know, and I'm not wishing for going back to those days. It's just, this is bringing up all the good and bad memories of my online dating years.
Right. The more you enjoy it, the more that mm-hmm. they see how happy you are and how content you are in your own life. They always say when you're least, all my girlfriends always said, when you're least expecting it, right? Mm-hmm. There's a reason, because then you're not so desperate, you're not so clinging to find it, that you're so open. And that's attractive to partners. I mean, that's attractive to men or women looking for their partners. They don't want somebody needy and clingy, unless they're needy and clingy.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, you just don't want to, yeah. It's like, it's how your attitude is and how your perception is of things. And if you have worked on yourself, and if you're wondering, why hasn't it happened to me yet? Or I love it when is it going to happen? And it's like, well, when God's timing is right, like you said. And people don't get that. It's not our timing. It's God's timing, or the universe's timing, or whatever it is. So it's patience, but it is fun. I just used to enjoy just getting online, and, you know, you get busy with life, and then, you know, I remember one time I was looking at the computer screen, like, where's my responses? I went offline for about a week. I had something to do, and I had, like, all these emails. I'm like, oh, okay, I got to get away from the computer. So, okay, let's go. I don't know. I just remember that, looking at one night. I was really, like, lonely and desperate, and then I got into, like, this, you know, athletic thing I was doing. I don't know what it was, golf or something, and I enjoyed it. That's another story. But when we go into dating, let's go into the dating process now. You've been seeing a guy for a while. How about the exclusivity clause, I call it? When do you become exclusive? Do you bring it up? Do you have them bring it up? What's your opinion about that? Because I get that question too, actually, and I'd just like your take on it.
So unique to every couple, so unique to every age group. So, you know, some people are fast and furious, and they know immediately. You know, they've been dating, they meet the one, they know immediately. So it's so specific to your circumstances. But I definitely think if that's where you're at, you talk about it. Because if not, one partner may think, hey, we're exclusive and maybe intimate, and then the other partner maybe, we haven't had to talk, I can do whatever I want. So I think you definitely need to make sure you're on the same page,
mm-hmm.
particularly if you're, you know, you're going to take things to another level, you know, whether that be moving in together or being physically intimate if you haven't, or however you're going to, you know, move the relationship forward. I think everybody needs to, and I think communication is huge for men and women. And sometimes it's confusing because they communicate so differently. There's not a right or a wrong, but men are much more, you know, direct and to the point. Women are, you know, much more about feeling, and, you know, and men understand, they want to make women happy. So they are just, they're all about getting a task done, and they're very task-oriented, and they're very single-focused. So we just need to learn how to talk to them in their language, or vice versa, so that we can be on the same page and communicate and understand where each one is coming from. But I think that, again, I don't think that there's a right or a wrong. For some people, you know, a month in, they may want to be exclusive. For some people, 6 months, 6 years. So it's so particular to the individual. But there are, again, there are sites that are more geared to whatever you're looking for. So if that's something in particular, you can identify that somehow in your profile if it's a bigger site, or go to a more exclusive site where they have niches for, you know, I'm looking to get married, I'm looking to marry someone of these demographics, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and when we talk, how come men, I've noticed this too, men are, you're right, women are more feeling, they talk about things more, where men are like, they say it once and they expect you to understand. How do you understand men speak, so to speak, there you go. How do you understand their language? What are some things that you can talk to your mate about, your future potential mate about, that, like, you know, how am I going to put this? You want to, like, get on the same page, let's say, about dating. Maybe you're not seeing them enough, okay? I get this a lot on the lines, too. They want to see them more. How can you approach him about that? Let's say you're dating once a week consistently, but you want to see them twice a week.
So what you don't want to do is demand it. What you don't want to do is say, if I don't see you, then I'm out of here. What you want to do is let, because men understand, like, women feel certain ways, and they want to make us happy, even men that aren't your man. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'm on the airplane, and I'm like, the gentleman behind me, before I can even go to grab my bag, is like putting it in the overhead. Men are so great at helping women. So if they understand what you need and how it makes you feel, then they will try to accommodate. They're going to try to make you happy, because that's by nature, that's what they do. So you want to say something in some, you know, soft way that, you know, it would feel so good to me if I could, you know, speak to you more on the phone, or, you know, it would mean so much, or, you know, I would really get this kind of emotion or energy if I could, you know, speak or see you more some way. And you generally, they know what moves their men. So they know kind of some trigger words and stuff. And often people like the words that they already use. So if you listen to the words that he uses, sometimes describe things, a lot of times if you can speak in those same words. But again, with women make it feeling based instead of task or focus based. So that they understand that, like, if you're in the car with a gentleman and you want him to turn up the air, tell the man, you know, turn up the air. If you say, I'm really hot, they're going to know what that means. And they're going to want to, again, satisfy that need, because that's what they do by nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, especially up here right now. It's 90-some degrees. Yeah. It's really warm in here, honey. Okay, I'll put the air on.
Exactly.
Yeah, he gets it. Yeah. What about, you know, you're dating for a while, and, you know, how does it improve I like the ending part of your, you know, your book. Looking for my flame, I found my fire. How does that relate to you? I find that, I like that phrase. How did you find your flame or your fire, looking for your flame?
Well, actually, you know, the online dating was a great experience. Met some amazing men and the man that I'm dating. So awesome, awesome experience. But more importantly, I learned so much about myself through the process. You know, again, I had an unlimited supply of men to go out with and, you know, kind of define myself, because you get a lot of the same kind of questioning, a lot of the same process through your dating experience. So I learned, you know, more about who I was, more about what I wanted by virtue of every date. I learned, you know, this is closer to what I want, or this is further from what I want. So again, those dates that, you know, don't seem to be the ones that take you to your partner, oftentimes take you directly to your partner.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And
like,
so,
in your case.
Yeah. I tell people, don't give up on online dating. It's actually quite fun if you get into it more, and don't be so afraid of it. Just use it as a tool. You know, like you said, a tool in addition to what you're doing now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, where can we find, you know, a couple different things? Where can we find your book? Where can we find you? Any final thoughts? We got a couple minutes yet, but any other additional
questions? Okay, great. So, again, it's 3 Bauer, and my site is mismatch.us, because it's all about us connecting. You can sign up for the email list there. You can get all kinds of free information on the blog, just great resources in there. You can also find out, again, we're working on a publishing deal right now, so it should be out soon, so you can get a copy of that. And final thoughts, just, again, enjoy the process, enjoy life. This should be something that's fun for you to do. Dating in general, your love life, it should be fun and exciting. It should not just be a chore. So, you know, again, if you go into it with that energy and that positive, you know, outlook, that's what it's going to be for you. And the people that you date are going to feel that as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like once you really get out there and just enjoy the process, you're right, you're going to be open to receive that partner you're meant to have.
Absolutely.
And people just, you know, like I said, I have a lot of calls on the line about this, and I was like, wow, this will be good. This will be a good show. It's enjoyable. And you're an attorney, too. Oh, my God, I used to be a
paralegal. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I used to be a paralegal back in the day.
I love what I do for a living, but again, I don't get to see enough people, so I have to find other ways. And this fulfills me. The self development stuff and the learning about yourself and the sharing what my knowledge is what really fulfills me. So it's been such a great thing for me. And you know, I have so much experience at this point working with, I mean, such great masters: Tony Robbins, Marianne Williamson, you know, David Data, just such great leaders and masters of this information, Alison Armstrong. So I put it together in such a niche that it can really right now help so many, because everything is gravitating to online. And again, now we're not limited by anything in the world. We can date literally anywhere in the world.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for everything. I know we're okay with the time. I really appreciate it. Any other thoughts or anything before we go?
My pleasure, Amy. It's been wonderful to speak with you. And if you want more information from me, feel free to go to the site, email me. I love to help people, so that's what I do.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much, everyone. Next week we have a great show planned. Everyone take care. Thank you, Drea.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.